we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Well, hello once again. This is Boomer Tech Radio, and I am Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
We are analog living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and the tech news you can use. Brought to you each and every week in Northern California by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Our good friends Cody and Tim Morlock down there. They will take good care of your car.
And you.
And you, absolutely. Well, a week ago today, as you are hearing this broadcast, we were knee-deep in the world of video. We have done for the last nearly 9 years a event called Dancing with the Stars, Shasta County Style, and it has been our pleasure, and this was our final year doing it. But we started out shooting the whole thing on mini DV tape with standard resolution, and mastering it to DVD discs. Now, over the years, video technology has evolved.
Just a little bit.
Considerably.
Computers have evolved just a little bit. The first year I did this, I did it on a MacBook Pro, a early model. Then it was on a Mac Pro, a tower, and then a second-hand PC that was built for gaming. Then on a newer MacBook Pro, the 2012 edition that I still have. And finally, when we started shooting in high definition, we stepped up to a full-blown gaming-grade computer with humongous hard drives and a fair amount of memory and a pretty racy processor. And
better cameras.
And we got better cameras. We went to high-definition cameras. Although these cameras, these are the Canon XHA-1s, they were designed to shoot to tape, but it's easy enough to add on a solid-state drive. So this year, we didn't use any tape at all. If for a few years, we would shoot to both tape and to what's called a solid-state drive. We were finally able to step away from that and shoot everything to a solid-state drive that captured. I still had a backup going. I was using my MacBook to capture the video as well through an interface. But the workflow was so much easier, which is good because the first couple of years we did this, we had like 10 days to deliver the project.
There was so much editing that you did.
Yeah, because you had to, because here's the thing, when you shoot to tape, and this is the way we used to have to do it, you then have to capture the tape into the computer.
Right.
Most often through an interface called FireWire, which was mostly an Apple thing, but it had adopted over into the PC world as well. And the FireWire interface had several different plugs as it evolved, but it was still a matter of plugging the camera in, setting it up, capturing it in real time into the computer's software. And this would take the same amount of time that it took to record the thing in the first place. So it was very time-consuming. Then you went into your big video files and edited them down and finally got a product that you could burn onto a DVD and give to the customer. So that's how we did it for some years. A couple of years ago, we made the decision to go high definition. Now, if you want to create a high-definition disc that you can hand to somebody, the most common way to do that was, for a short time, Blu-ray. Blu-ray disc burners are tricky. They have...
Finicky.
They are finicky. And when I first started looking at this, the discs were about $3 each. And so if there was a problem, you ended up with a stack of extremely expensive coasters.
Yeah, right.
And the authoring software was cumbersome. It's better now. But Blu-ray, they're about all that you find Blu-ray being used for now is like in Redbox video distribution and things like that. Most of us get our stuff streaming online.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the capacity of a DVD, I won't bog down in the details, but the DVD can hold about 2 hours of standard definition material. If you put high definition on a DVD, it's more like about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not very useful for the sort of thing you want to do.
Not practical at all.
So I was faced with the decision, not everybody has a Blu-ray player, but a lot of people have laptop computers. And, of course, desktops and things like that. So this last 2 years, we have actually distributed our finished product to the end user on flash drives. Now, let me tell you, there's a couple of standards. There's USB 2.0, which is the most common. USB 3.0 is the up-and-coming, and it's a lot faster. But, of course, the media is more expensive.
Yeah, of course.
So I said, okay, if I buy the... you can buy a USB 2 flash drive with 60. Now, this is, if you think back to what the prices were just a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, 16 gig one was what? The bird 60 to 50,
yeah, 60,
60
80 bucks.
Like,
yeah. A USB 3, 128 gig is around 59 bucks if you shop around. But I didn't need that kind of capacity. So I got from Amazon two boxes of 16 gig. USB flash drives for, it was about $39 a box. It was $80 for the two boxes. And then I spent an entire afternoon copying the drive. Now, one of the reasons I bought that big new computer is I was able to copy four or five drives at the same time.
Ah.
Which actually worked out rather well. Because if I had to do them one at a time on the MacBook, I'd still be there.
True.
Anyway, most people nowadays can take the file off of the flash drive, plug it into your laptop, and away you go. Now, here's the tip. If you have a Mac, and the format of these video files is a very compressed format called MP4,
mm-hmm.
which is also known at a certain level as H.264 standard, and that has to do with the... codec, the way the video is encoded and compressed and then decompressed.
Mm-hmm.
Only recently have computers been fast enough to be able to decompress that file on the run. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you had to put it onto a very fast hard drive, and you hope that your computer was fast enough to play it back without stuttering. but the hardware has gotten faster and far more efficient, so we distributed to the various people these flash drives, and it's a whole lot easier, and it's easier throughout the pipe. So what I'm saying is that if you like to play around in video, you're probably never going to pick up a tape. It's going to be, in our case, mm-hmm. when we do video, we have yep. both the SSD drives, which is sort of it's a solid-state hard drive, about the size of the drive that's inside your laptop, but no moving parts. And then we have a piece of equipment that shoots everything to SD cards. Now, the SD card is the one that's about the size of a postage stamp. And it has little gold fingers on one end. And you see
and
the most commonly...
Yeah,
yep. You see them most commonly in digital cameras.
Yeah. Well, you can use them in computers, too.
Right. And
I mean, people are pretty familiar with that.
A lot of videographers are actually using them in lieu of distributing on tape. And, in fact, software is more and more being distributed using the SD card because they are eminently portable, doesn't cost much to mail one from point A to point B, and they're pretty reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we met when we were at CES a couple of years ago with the SD Card Consortium, the SD Association. Remember that?
Yeah.
And at the time, the biggest SD card you could buy off the shelf was about 4 gigs.
Yeah, it was pretty puny by today's standards.
At the time, it was a monster. It was an SD, well, it was probably about 8 gigs at that time, the SDHC for high capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And they were starting to be able to shoot video to these cards. Well, you could fit about 50 of these things in the space one old-style videotape would take that could record an hour's worth of material. And these things could record, you know, several hours. Now, this last time we did some video, we were shooting to SD card and to the SSD, and it's just getting faster and faster. If you recall a few years ago, there were like 20 different competing compact or solid-state card formats. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You had the SD card reader with like 9 different sizes of slots in it.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Everybody had, Sony had the memory stick, and there was the compact flash, and there was and some that have never been heard from again. If you had all your pictures on one of those types of the MMC memory card.
Oh, yeah.
Now, SD cards come in a couple of different flavors. There's the quote full size, which is roughly the size of your of a postage stamp. Then there's the one that goes in your smartphone,
which is an itty bitty teeny tiny thing,
about the size of a thumbnail.
Yeah, well, not even that. It's
a fingernail, more like.
Yeah, it's more like your pinky nail.
And that goes in your smartphones and certain types of cameras use the micro SD card. The GoPro uses the micro SD card.
They can be a bit tricky to handle.
They can be tricky to handle, and they're easy to lose.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, so SD card has sort of become the popular mainstream storage media for cameras and recorders and things like that because they're relatively inexpensive. They've become pretty ubiquitous. Most computers now come with an SD card slot on them, although Apple has moved away from that. But most laptops still come with an SD card slot because your camera, your digital camera, is the most common place where you're going to find one of these
mm-hmm.
things.
Yeah. I have an SD slot on my computer, but it comes out of the camera, goes into the computer.
Yeah.
That's the nice part.
Yeah, you don't have to mess around with the cables, and then the computer has to recognize the camera, and then you transfer the data.
It's so slow.
Yeah. There's a new standard on the horizon. Right now, the biggest SD card you can get is about 2 terabytes, which is pretty.
That's pretty substantial.
Yeah, pretty big.
In an SD card, you have mm-hmm. 2 terabytes.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Well, it gets crazier. Well, 1 terabyte SD cards are still not in stores. They are in the pipe. SanDisk's 512 gigabyte. Now, you think about 512 gigabyte. Is bigger than most consumer computer hard drives. That's a
big number.
That's a big number.
Really,
but it's going to
a really, really big number.
And a Pro X 512 gigabyte SanDisk Pro SDXC card will set you back about $300 retail, which is why I use 64s and 32s because.
Yeah, but think about this. In 2-3 years, the cost of that's going to be.
The
way
price
down,
of memory
undoubtedly.
Follows pretty much its own version of Moore's Law. In other words, it gets more capable and cheaper. SD Express, a whole new level. Essentially, it's a removable solid-state drive that you could fit a half a dozen of them in the palm of your hand with room left over. The new standard will hold up to... what was this? 128 terabytes on a single SD card.
That's
data
lot.
Transfer rate of almost a gigabyte per second, 985 megabytes a second. That's so it's moving a lot of data back and forth.
Yeah, reasonably decent.
Mm-hmm. So this is going to make the computers smaller, lighter,
mm-hmm.
and faster because the SD card is faster than the spinning hard drive. I would say 5 years, give or take, the spinning hard drive will have been phased out of most mainstream computers. Because
the solid state is starting to catch up.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't produce, it doesn't have a mechanical problem.
Correct.
And it doesn't produce heat.
Now, the caveat there is that if something goes wrong, your data is trash, but that's the same thing with a spinning hard drive, with a mechanical hard drive. Or I guess magnetomechanical hard drive. So SD Express, still on the horizon, and they will initially, like everything, be incredibly expensive, but the price will drop. By the way, just a couple of years ago, Panasonic was trying to sell what was called a P2 card for their cameras, and it was almost the size of an SSD card, but they were like $600 for a card that could record for an hour.
Well,
they were insane, and you had to have
pricey.
A separate reader to be able to read the card out, and so your camera slotted into it. So anybody who bought a P2 camera, I feel rather sorry for, because I knew when I was looking at these things, I knew that SD cards were going to catch up very, very quickly. The other major format, of course, is what's called CF, compact flash. And those are the ones that are about, if you've seen an old-style matchbook, they're about that big.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we report
amazing.
On.
128 terabyte.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, I was impressed with 128 gig.
Yeah, yeah.
But now they're talking about terabytes?
Yeah.
Really?
That's
amazing. And an SD card, it just blows your mind.
Yeah, that's essentially 25,000 full-length high-definition movies.
Oh, man. There's not enough time left to watch all those.
There
I don't have enough time left. I don't know if anybody could watch that many.
Yeah. What this is going to do, though, is enable the transfer of large amounts of information very, very quickly. And you could back up your entire site. You could back up a whole library onto one of these things very easily with room left over.
I mean, that's kind of scary, though. You think about the size of this thing. You know, shouldn't something that stores that much data have substance? You know, have some meat?
It's all bits.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. Yeah, and they haven't even touched into, like, DNA storage and things like that.
Or quantum.
Quantum things. Wow.
The spin of electrons and...
That
pretty cool
stuff.
This is
technology that we know, have used for some time.
We are in the science fiction realm, I'll tell you what.
It's good stuff.
How often do you... Now, I discovered I've been, and you've been telling me this, I've been mistreating my phone.
You have?
I have been mistreating my phone. According to experts, best way to treat your phone is to give it little charges throughout the day. Don't run it all the way down charge it all the way up. Don't let it float.
I've been misusing my phone as well. Sometimes I start charging at 30%. Sometimes it sneaks up on you and you're down to, 15%.
Yep.
So what do you mean, don't let it float? What's that mean?
A site from battery company CADEX called Battery University says lithium-ion batteries and smartphones are sensitive to stress. Here's their recommendations. Don't leave the phone plugged in when it's fully charged, like you might overnight. In the long run, that's bad for the battery. So, and I'm in the habit of dropping my phone into the charger when I go to bed and picking it up in the morning. Turns out that's bad for a couple of reasons. It's because the battery is sort of under stress while it's being charged. So if you take the battery off the charge, you're actually letting it relax and cool down.
Yeah.
Lithium ion does not need to be fully charged, and it's not desirable to do so. In fact, it's better to not fully charge. In other words, take it up to about 90% because the high voltage will damage the battery and wear it down in the long run. Turns out they're much happier if during your day, and this is nice if you have one of those external battery packs, every once in a while you give it a little juice up, and just like your car battery, think about this, the battery in your car, which of course is a whole different chemistry, do you charge it up fully and then run it all the way down before you fire it up again?
No. Keep it topped off every time you run the car.
Every time you run the car, you put a little bit of boost back into it. And in fact, that's probably... part of the rationale behind like hybrid cars like the Prius is that you run out the battery for a bit and then the motor kicks in and recharges back up. It doesn't keep the battery completely at the top. Apple, in fact, is suggesting that if you have a big heavy case around your phone, when you go to charge it, pull the case off. And also, don't leave the phone out. I knew this. I have a solar charger that I can charge up my phone with when we're out in a remote location or out on the boat or something. I will make sure that the phone is in the shade because if sitting in full sunlight, high heat is extremely unhealthy for the batteries, especially. That's when you see these batteries blowing up. According to Battery University, charge your phone when it gets down about 10%. So you charging the phone when it loses 10% of the charge would be the best-case scenario. Obviously not practical for a lot of people, so plug in the smartphone whenever you can. It doesn't, in fact, it's fine with being plugged in and unplugged multiple times a day. Now, there was an old thing with NiCad batteries. Remember, the NiCad batteries would develop memory.
Right, if you
discharge them a little bit and then charge them back up, they would lose capacity. And that's the thinking that a lot of people are applying to lithium ions.
Yeah, that I knew that lithium ions weren't. Now, but still, don't they have only so many charge cycles in them?
Turns out that in lengthy tests that the short cycling is actually better for the battery than long cycling.
Oh, well, cool.
Yep.
I will.
So when you – and this is where what we saw at CES where you had a charging platform in your car.
Right.
And you would drop the phone onto the charging platform as you were driving, and it did a couple of things. First of all, it would recharge the battery, and second of all, it would link into the car's systems.
Mm-hmm.
So that the, in some cases, in some designs, the smartphone actually becomes the car key. And your navigation system,
right,
would actually link into the car's navigation system.
Sure.
Just don't lose the phone, but... I'm pretty happy with my wireless charger. You've got one as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they're great.
So don't leave it on there all night. Just when you see it's down a quarter, give or take, when you get a chance, plug it in. You can go all the way down once in a while, but don't make it a day-after-day-after-day habit, or it will tell on your phone in the long run.
I'll be darned.
So that that information. By the way, anything that we talk about here on Boomer Tech Radio, you can, of course, look up in the Flipboard magazine. Just get the Flipboard app, type in Boomer Tech Radio, and you'll be able to find articles that we talk about on this show because Flipboard takes all the work out of it. They curate stories from all these different sources, so that's always kind of handy. So I'm reaching over here because I have to – oh, no.
It's an update.
That's
the first thing you always assume, you know, that computer doesn't
do anything. The computer doesn't do anything.
It must be doing an update.
Because it's in an update cycle.
Oh, my goodness.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the smallest computer in the world and it that fits the definition of a computer, and you won't believe how small they managed to get this thing. Also, new Wi-Fi standard and how to protect your router against Wi-Fi hacking. And Amazon now wants to become the 400-pound gorilla comes to pharmacies.
Oh, pharmacies, yeah.
And healthcare providing.
Well, then they're busting into the brick-and-mortar retail anyway.
Yep. So if you want to get in touch with us, boomertechradio@gmail.com, or you can write to bobbalangi@gmail.com, or Bob@kcnr1460.com. It's
Bob.Belongi@gmail.
Bob.Belongi@gmail.com.
And you get a Kewpie doll if you can spell Belongi.
It's on the website. Go to boomertechradio.com. We'll be back after these with the stories and the tech news that you can use.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit at Wind River Spa. Indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean here at Wind River Spa. Our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend a day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring farmhouse fresh products for skincare and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Download the Wind River app. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. Every week we bring you goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and tech news that you can use right here on Boomer Tech Radio. And we podcast, of course. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and, of course, the new Google Podcast app, which you can download to your Android phone. Or if you've got an Apple, you can go to Apple Podcasts and type in Boomer Tech Radio, and you will find us. Tiny, tiny, tiny. It's always a race to how small can it get. Now, IBM, a couple of years ago, had what they called the world's smallest computer. And somebody said, oh, yeah, so the University of Michigan produced a temperature-sensing computer measuring 0.04 cubic millimeters, a tenth of the size of IBM's offering. It is so. There's a picture here, yep, in Gadget, of this computer, and it fulfills the requirements of a computer next to a grain of rice.
And the rice grain looks ginormous.
It looks like a minnow next to a whale. It's amazing.
It just, it is. And what's interesting about this, it actually has this little transmission LED on it, and the little temperature sensing part of it apparently can detect the heat from the LED transmission, is the way I read this.
Yeah, yeah, the current running through the wires. I mean, it's just freaking minuscule. The sensor is so small that this technology, you say, what? So what do you do with this? This thing, if you provide it with a power source, could be implanted. Or let's say it has a wireless type of arrangement or some kind of very tiny power cell. It could be implanted into tissue. Scientists think that tumors are slightly warmer than healthy tissue, but it's been difficult to verify until now. So if these things could be implanted into the tissue, it could give us another tool in the box.
Right, to diagnose it or to figure out what tissue is affected.
Team also envisions to diagnose glaucoma from inside the eye, monitor biochemical processes, and even study little tiny snails. So the tiny size does cause them to question what a computer really does. It does have a processor. It loses all data when you cut power off because it has no storage. But it can't use radio because it's so tiny that the wavelength, you can't put an antenna on it.
That's amazing.
So it flashes an LED at an extremely high rate to transmit the data back to an external device.
But think about how they might be able to connect these together or something like that. Very interesting idea, and the fact that it actually works is quite amazing. So sometimes you build it, and then somebody will figure out what to do with it.
Precisely. There's a couple of stories about Wi-Fi that we will cover here. I'll have another one later on. But we're going to give you a few tips right now on how to defend yourself against Wi-Fi hacking.
And you may think this is not a – it'll never happen to me. Why, yeah, or it's like it's no big deal. I have nothing to hide, so on and so forth. But the problem is that somebody hacking into anything via Wi-Fi or your Wi-Fi system, this is serious. Mm-hmm. It really is.
There's a video, if you go to Flipboard and you pull up the story, there's a video entitled Defense Against the Wi-Fi Hacking Art,
yes,
which is sort of a Harry Potter thing.
Yes, it's a reference to Harry Potter.
It's actually, there's some common techniques that hackers use to be able to get it. Why would they want to get into your Wi-Fi? Let's suppose they wanted to upload something that would point to you instead of to them. Let's say they wanted to get into and raise mayhem on your network, either just for the heck of it, or it could be targeted. And we're going to talk about that in an upcoming story as well, targeting people,
yep,
through their Internet of Things network.
Yep. Or they want to utilize your system to piggyback on your system.
To create a bot.
To create problems, yes.
We have said this many, many, many times. If you have a router in the house, change the password to the router.
Yeah, from
admin
password
or whatever. Yeah. There are
That's
many old routers
stuff
out there that still have
easy access, and the whole idea is so that customers wouldn't get frustrated. So the companies took the easy route. They press the easy button, and the default password is usually, literally, password. Bad, bad idea.
First thing you should do when you get it, hook it up, whatever. Make sure that you change that password.
Yep. There are a number of, so change your password from the default and make sure it's something that you can remember again. Although with a router, if you've forgotten the access password, you can give up and push the reset button and reset it back to its factory defaults and then go in and fix the password again.
Well, that's a good thing.
Use a password manager like LastPass or KeePass.
If anybody has physical access to the router, that could be kind of a bad thing because then they could take it over physically.
Right. Well, in that case, the router kids. May be the least of your difficulties.
Well, probably so. That would be true.
There's any number of... now. There's actually a sidebar to this story about making stronger passwords, and we've iterated this a couple of times. Our favorite method of creating a good, strong password, take a sentence or a line from a movie, something that you
and your
significant other, maybe something that you always toss back and forth in certain situations, take that, turn it into a single phrase with no spaces in it, and then substitute, like capitalize all the vowels.
Yeah,
or
something like that.
Change certain letters into numbers.
Right.
An L becomes a 1. A 0, an O becomes a 0. A 3, an E can become a 3.
Yep.
That's a common one. The at sign can become the A. Those are all very standard substitutions. Now, hackers are onto those, and they will try those, but it's awfully hard to guess the string when it's some phrase that would only mean something to you.
Right.
These are, of course, there's social engineering attacks, and this is what happens often to businesses.
Mm-hmm. I had that at work, actually. Well, no, there was a compromise, and personally identifiable information was given out to who knows who. You know, it's sort of like, it's not a case of... if it for everybody, it's a win. When is it going to happen to you? If it hasn't happened to you, count your blessings. But
it's like motorcycle riding. It's not if you're going to fall down, it's when you're
exactly.
going to fall down. Right?
It's like your stuff gets, you know, waylaid or stolen or whatever.
Yeah. So you want to make sure that you have always be suspicious and create what is recommended now is that most routers give you the ability to create a guest network, or...
That's right. You can, we used to call it partitioning your computer.
Yeah. Or you get a second router or a second access point
right.
and
just
simply plug it into your existing router so you create an entirely separate network.
Right.
But so it's the...
Darn devices require some maintenance.
Yeah,
and
you have to actually pay attention to what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly, right?
But we'll have a few more pointers about Wi-Fi passwords and standards coming up and things like that as the show progresses. So, Amazon. The Amazon. Now, here's something that was pointed out to me. Why does Amazon have a smiley face as their logo?
Well it's not really a smiley face.
It's an arrow pointing from A to Z.
Correct. The smiley face
that's
is
very
kind of,
clever.
Kind of a the smiley face is sort of a I think a serendipitous fallout of that. Somebody smart figured that out.
Well, now Amazon is not just content to be your source for dog food and take care of your jeans and
books.
Yeah, well, that was a big thing, was books.
Yeah.
Grocery stores, and of course, they bought Whole Foods,
mm-hmm.
Whole Paycheck Foods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, where's the big money? Healthcare.
Oh, pharmaceuticals are huge.
The e-commerce giant announced that the company will be acquiring pharmaceutical startup PillPack. The acquisition set standard brick-and-mortar pharmacy stock prices plunging. This could be a huge disruptor. The acquisition went for just under $1 billion. The deal is expected to be closed in the second half of 2018, PillPack, an online pharmacy startup that provides consumers with prescription medication in prepackaged doses. The company's website suggests it's licensed to ship prescriptions in 49 states. They have their own operating system. This could be trouble for traditional pharmacies, and that could be a problem because one of the jobs of a pharmacist is not just to put pills from a big bottle in a little bottle
right.
and hand it to
sort of a system of checks and balances.
That's right. They would know. Wait a minute. If you're taking this, you probably shouldn't be taking this. Let's check with the doctor, especially for those of us who have multiple doctors or those of us who try to be our own doctor. Therein lies difficulties.
Yep. On the other hand, that would be an easy thing for an AI to do.
Could an AI? Well, yes. Now, of course, can insurance companies get into your medical records even more?
Now, there is a question.
And say, oh, well, you're taking this medication, therefore we're going to charge more. It's all about the money.
Well, what's interesting about this is that the brick-and-mortar stores like Rite Aid, Walgreens, CVS, you know, whatever, all those large retailers. Have you ever gone in one of those stores recently? I look around and go, where's the drugs department?
Where's the pharmacy?
Where's the pharmacy department? There's everything in there from, you know, eye makeup to, to food, booze, which some might argue is a drug, but that's a different story.
That's self-medication.
You know, you can, you can, you know, buy clothes. And all kinds of stuff in there. It's like,
beach toys. And
beach toys, seasonal stuff, Christmas decorations. Where's the pharmacy? It's just one, like, fifth, maybe, of the store.
Mm-hmm.
I don't shop in those places because it's sort of like going to the dollar store for anything other than your medications.
I think that neighborhood pharmacies, like the one we have here in Reading, I think that those will be okay. I think the chains like CVS and Walgreens and places like that will be in trouble. Costco may or may not be heavily affected by this because their whole thing is volume.
Right.
And they're sort of doing the same thing, only with a physical delivery. Now, certain medications, of course, should not be shipped.
Right. Well, by law, they can't be.
Right.
You know, there's a reason for that, because nefarious people were going through the citizenry's mailboxes looking for drugs, such as, you know, OxyContin or the like, the opiates. They used to mail order those. Now they don't anymore.
Yeah. So there will still be the neighborhood drugstore. Would you want to get your pills from a robot? Probably not. Although, human error is a significant cause of these problems. When somebody is in a hurry and puts the wrong thing in the wrong bottle,
there's that, and
mayhem ensues.
There's also the fact that if you do a mail order pharmacy, some insurance plans have that, there probably is a human behind that, but this is stuff just shows up in your mailbox.
Yeah.
You know, there's no conversation about it or what have you. There will be those traditionalists that
will want the consultation.
Right. Yeah. And you'll get a robot for that, probably, in a very clinical sense. But there's also formulae pharmacies. I didn't say that right. But anyway, they'll compounding pharmacies that will make things to a doctor's specifications that are not off the shelf. You know, big pharmaceuticals don't necessarily make these things.
Right, the one size fits all thing. But I think that
seems to be less and less, though.
My gut instinct, and I hope I'm wrong, my gut instinct is that all these mega companies are positioning themselves to be the prime contractor if universal health care becomes a reality.
That's an interesting thought. Certainly makes sense.
Yep. And CVS has been offering in their storefronts now, essentially urgent care,
inoculations.
If you need to have a burn looked at or something like that, they have a health professional on hand. This is very, very big business. The whole idea there, of course, to try to keep people out of the operating room. Do you need to tie up a doctor? And we're seeing this trend in healthcare already. Do we need to tie up the fully trained doctor to look at a broken finger?
Right.
or to when you have a cough. Now, the danger, of course, when you have someone who is not a fully trained doctor, when you're seeing the nurse practitioner or whatever, is it possible that something that is very dire might be missed? I think that's a matter of training, and as the ability for the software and diagnostic tools to become more and more efficient and learn more using basically AI. What I don't want to see, though, is, of course, there's a very famous story in the science fiction world called The Little Black Bag. And essentially, the black bag was full of smart tools. This is a story that was written, mind you, in the 1950s. And I forget who wrote the story. I'll have to see if I can find it. Anyway, the upshot is that the bag is full of these, is from the far future. It has these miracle tools that take care of all the diagnostics. The doctor, quote unquote, the person carrying the bag, can be a complete idiot because the tools do all the work. That's probably a world we don't want to get into. I won't spoil the story, but I'm pretty sure the story is called The Little Black Bag, and I'll have to look that up during the break. It's an interesting story. It's a classic of science fiction, short story science fiction.
So I looked up PillPack, and of course you could do the same, how it works. What they do is that every month they'll deliver medications, and they'll even cover vitamins and other over-the-counter things such as aspirin or whatever, and they sort them out by dose, and they put them in these easy-to-open packets that fit into a dispenser, sort of like a pill box, I guess. And then they say they monitor your count so you don't have to worry about it. They look at frequently review a medication schedule, work with the doctors on refills and that sort of thing. If the medications change, then they just update the medication based on the new prescription. And the thing is, it's one of those things where you interface with your smartphone, and you'll have what you need when you need it. If you're traveling, going on vacation, or, whatever, they have quite the overnight services they can ship to you and that sort of thing. And, of course, it has an app, so you can gain access to your account wherever you are. And then I don't know why this is a big one, but they said you'll always know what you owe. There's no hidden fees and that sort of thing. So kind of interesting idea.
But just to show you, I looked up The Little Black Bag. It was written by C.M. Kornbluth, a famous science fiction author of the era, in 1950. In 1950, it was predicted that these automated tools would do away with the need for specialized training. In this society that is envisioned in The Little Black Bag, society is divided up into the super geniuses and the dimwits, who are referred to as the marching morons. This was 70 years ago.
That's interesting, the last name, Korn. It looks like Kornbluth.
Yeah.
K-O-R-N-B-L-U-T-H. I knew a guy his last name was Youngblood, pronounced Youngblood, and the last letters were B-L-U-T-H. So I don't know if that's Kornblood, but it looks like Kornbluth.
It is regarded as one of the top 20 short science fiction stories of all time. So look at it. If you're kind of a nerd person and you want to see where we're going by looking at where we've been, look up the story. It was actually translated into a TV episode in the 1950s, The Little Black Bag. Interesting reading.
You know the darndest things.
Speaking of interesting reading, the folks who are reading Barnes & Noble's sales reports are getting highly depressed.
Now, or a little nervous.
Now, Amazon really did threaten the brick-and-mortar bookstore, just as Barnes & Noble and stores of that type did in the neighborhood bookstore,
yeah,
the independents and things like that.
Yep.
Most, unless you were someplace like Powell's Books up in Portland.
Beautiful place.
You didn't stand a chance. The mom-and-pop bookstores often faded away. in favor of the Walmart of books, which was sort of, you know, Barnes & Noble. Well, Barnes & Noble saw the writing on the wall, the direction that technology was taking, and they introduced an early model e-reader called the Nook. And the trouble with the Nook is it's a tablet, but that's all it did.
It only does one
thing. It was an e-reader. And I remember going to a CES, a Consumer Electronics Show, that e-readers were a big thing.
Right, I remember that.
But tablets were coming up rapidly. You could not only read your stuff on it, but you could check the weather, do a news thing, send off an email, Skype with somebody, all in this single device.
And I believe we, if I recall, we asked one e-reader company, well, why would I buy your e-reader when it only does that one thing, when tablets will do that and a whole lot more? They really didn't have a very good answer.
Yeah. Now, interesting enough, the sale, Nook sales were never that spectacular.
Nope.
But they took almost a 24% dive in 2018.
I was never very impressed with the Nook, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, originally it was a custom-designed tablet that had poor response time, a very hard-to-read screen, took forever to recharge, had very crummy battery life. They changed gears and went with a customized Samsung tablet. But it still wouldn't. But it had its own version of an operating system. It wasn't even like that. Not like the Amazon Kindle uses a variation of the Android operating system. But deep underneath, it is still an Android operating system. Barnes & Noble's Nook was trying to use its very own operating system, and it was terrible. Yeah. And it would do nothing but display a book.
Yeah, I never cared for that. At least like our Fire. Kindle Fires, now they're actual little tablets.
Yeah, that's my Desert Island device, by
the way. I use it mostly as an e-reader, but I've also used it to surf the web a little bit and so on and so forth. But it can do multiple tasks.
Yeah.
A little more bang for the buck there.
Now, tablets like the Galaxy Tab E series and some of the other variations on the Galaxy, and of course there's diehards for the Apple iPad Mini. Mm-hmm. and the newer iPads, there are still diehard fans of that. But as far as a single, relatively, you can still get a Fire HD 8 for under $100, which is pretty good. Speaking of such things, we got a Fire Cube. It arrived, and I haven't finished hooking it up yet. I took it out. It's kind of a neat little onyx cube. It's all picks up fingerprints like you wouldn't believe.
Well. The point is, you shouldn't be having to touch it once you set it up, right?
Right. So once I get it in place, I'm going to have to wipe it clean.
Yeah, and then I have to interface.
So it's going to hook up like any other Alexa type device. Here, I went and triggered a bunch of them.
There you go. There you go. Triggering off.
There you go. Firing off smart speakers. It's Boomer Tech Radio. That's it for this hour. We'll be back next hour with more of the tech news you can use. Right after Town Hall News. Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. President Trump says he'll announce his pick for the Supreme Court after Independence Day, but will he ask them about their position on Roe v. Wade?
It's a great group of intellectual talent, but we really, they are generally conservative. I'm not going to ask them that question, by the way. That's not a question I'll be asking. But it is a group of very highly talented, very brilliant, mostly conservative judges.
Aboard Air Force One, the president said he'll reveal his consideration for the seat being vacated by the retiring Justice Anthony Kennedy on Monday, July 9th. The president says he has no plans to pull out of the World Trade Organization, pushing back against reports that he's told advisors he would like to. Mr. Trump has reiterated, however, his past views that the U.S. has not been treated fairly by it. The president also says his administration is close to wrapping up an investigation into whether it should increase tariffs on cars imported from the European Union. A higher minimum wage kicks in tomorrow for workers in two states and 16 local jurisdictions. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has details.
Residents in Maryland will see the lowest wages rise to $10.10 an hour. Oregon gets a 50-cent increase to bring the minimum wage to $10.75 an hour. Pay also is set to rise in the cities of Chicago, Minneapolis, Portland, Maine, and Washington, D.C. Other wage hikes are kicking in several California cities and towns, including San Francisco, where the minimum wage will jump to $15 an hour.
Also in Los Angeles and Malibu, the minimum wage will be $13.25, Pasadena, Santa Monica, same rate. Some larger companies in Seattle already paying at least $15 an hour to some of their employees. A number of new laws go into effect July 1st around the country. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't hear from somebody, either through an email or a comment or a text message, about how people love their relief factor. If you have back pain, neck pain, leg pain, pain from working out at the gym, just pain that you think you have to live with, think again. There's a perfect alternative to ibuprofen. There's a perfect alternative to prescription drugs. Relief Factor, developed by physicians, made from high-quality fish oil and essential nutrients. You know what it works on? I know what it works on. I know what it goes after is the inflammation that causes the pain to begin with. But don't just take my word for it. I can tell you all day long that it works for me, and it does. I take a packet in the morning, a packet in the evening. My lower back pain is completely eliminated. But you try it. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Sign up for the three-week quick start. It costs just $19.95. You give it a three-week shot. Decide if it's for you or not. If it's not, you're only out $20. What do you have to lose except for the pain? ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
There is a new vaccine to prevent shingles. Dr. Charles Snyderman tells us what shingles is and why the vaccine is important.
Chickenpox was a common childhood viral disease before a preventive vaccine became available in the 1990s. The chickenpox virus can stay dormant in your nerve cells after infection. Reactivation of the virus can appear as a blistering rash, which looks like chickenpox, but is usually limited to the skin associated with a single nerve. The reactivation is called shingles and can be extremely painful. More about this in my next report. This is Dr. Charles Snyder reporting from Washington.
A class action lawsuit has been filed with the Ohio Court of Claims against CVS Casemark, or CVS Caremark, that is, and the State Health Department over a mailing that might have publicly disclosed the identity of 6,000 HIV patients. The Columbus Dispatch reports the lawsuit filed by a Cleveland area attorney says the state shared private medical information with CVS last summer without authorization. More on these stories at townhall.com. After 30 hours of effort, volunteers were able to rescue a 7-week-old deaf puppy that fell down a 50-foot crevice behind a house in Alabama.
While the tears erupted in cheers as the pup named Toffee was pulled out of the narrow hole around midnight Saturday with the help of a snare and some food, Toffee fell into the inches-wide space around 5 p.m. Thursday. Firefighters, cave rescue crews, and plumbers joined the rescue effort, lowering nets, snares, and food to try to retrieve Toffee. Video footage showed the white puppy wagging her tail as the rescue wrapped up. Huntsville television stations drew thousands of followers as they live-streamed the recovery efforts. Patrick Foss reporting.
A Southern California College public security specialist was stabbed to death and the suspect fatally shot by police. The incident happened yesterday afternoon at Cal Poly Pomona. News and analysis, townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Hello once again. Boomer Tech Radio is the name of the show. I am Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
Welcome to Hour 2 of our program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and the tech news that you can use. And, of course, our catchy little theme tune is composed and performed by George Wood. It's called 8-Bit Junkie. It's off the PodSafe Music Network. And we are using it by permission. Yay! Fairly quiet week, but a lot of interesting things hitting the pipe as far as the tech news goes. If you've ever wanted to go to Mars, but you can't afford the price tag. Now, I understand that Jeff Bezos is going to start selling tickets next year to do the sub.
To go Mars? To Mars?
Go into suborbital flight.
Oh, well, that's a little different.
Yeah. I would consider that. If I had the disposable income, you bet, to see our world from 300,000 feet.
With your own eyes.
Yeah, with your own eyes.
Not high definition, you know, things. Mm-mm. Yep. That's pretty cool. So is that as far out as the space station, or is the space station further?
It's further up.
That's what I thought.
The space station's in an actual orbit. The Blue Origin spacecraft flies up just, it's technically space, it's about 60 miles up, which is generally accepted as the edge of space. So, if you've wanted to go to Mars, however, but you just can't afford the price tag, a developer has created a wonderfully realistic version.
So far, there's no regularly scheduled things going to Mars.
There's a game called Red Rover. Real terrain scans of Mars are used to give players a sense they're actually present on the red planet. According to astronomy, Alan Chan has managed to successfully create the surface of Mars for his game using the work of NASA's Mars Orbiter as his guide with both terrain and satellite data, allowing you to fully immerse yourself in the Martian environment. So if you... I could see this turning into a sort of game like The Martian, a survival game.
Right,
which if you've never seen The Martian, possibly, I can't think of the actor, but he's...
Damon.
Yeah, Matt Damon. Never one of my favorite actors, but he was so spot on in The Martian. And it was accurate science, too. It wasn't nonsense. There was a couple areas couple of areas where I guess they played a little fast and loose with physics.
I'm telling you, using raw people poop for fertilizer next to your plants, that's just a bad idea.
Well,
hot, well, as they say in fertilizer.
Well, he was mixing it with dirt.
Well, yeah, that part's... And hopefully that kind of toned it down a little bit, but it's like chicken poo. If you use fresh chicken poo in your garden, you're going to fry your plants. You'll burn them chemically. Mm. So most gardeners know these things. So I was a little skeptical about some of those descriptions.
So the guy who built the game, he grew up believing that by now we would be living in space, living in colonies. Remember Weekly Reader magazine?
Oh, yes.
There were paintings by a guy named Don Davis.
Am I dating myself if I say I remember Weekly Reader?
Yes. Don Davis struck a chord with readers as he presented NASA's vision of space colonies, the cylinders, spheres, the torrids, of course, the classic Von Braun space station that would, that you saw in the opening sequence to 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Hmm.
How many years ago was that? You know, it was supposed to be 2001. We were supposed to have a fully manned space station with artificial gravity.
Right.
We're nowhere near that.
No. We probably could have been, in some ways, at least from a station point of view, but research has shown, you know, humans don't do well in space.
Yeah. But it's an open, it's sort of an open world game, literally. Can explore various areas of Mars at your leisure, including South Olympus, Victoria Crater, Western Sybaris. I could see this becoming a good VR game.
Sure. That makes sense.
High-resolution virtual reality goggles. And it's available on Steam, which is, of course, a platform for distribution of video games. So if you don't want to have to blow up aliens and build worlds and set goals and things like that, you know, if you're not doing hack and slash Skyrim type stuff, Red Rover is the name of the game. And if your rover gets stuck, you have to figure out how to extricate it.
Red Rover.
Yep. Just $5. Planetary Driving Simulator.
Cool.
Pretty cool stuff. Let's see here. Now, we have talked before on this program about digital rights management. The whole idea here is that you can't copy a song or copy a video because of the digital rights management, and the hardware is designed to not allow you to do that. And the same thing's being done with software, not only to prevent copying, but to keep people from altering it so that it could become a problem. Google's making a change now to the Play Store apps, a company adding a small amount of security metadata, which is stuff that isn't the active part of the program, but it's like your phone information or tags and music. That's the metadata. This new metadata will make it possible to verify that an app is the real thing and not a piece of malware. So somebody may post up on the Google Play Store because it's much more, they lack as much control as, say, Apple, the Apple Store does, the App Store. So a lot of malware gets onto Google Play, because that innocent-looking backgammon game is actually allowing a rootkit to get into your phone and take it over. So Google coming up with some techniques there through digital rights management to head off possibly people getting into your Android phone. So.
How magnanimous of them.
Well,
that is a good thing.
It's in their own interest.
I was going to say that these things are always driven by a lawsuit or potential lawsuit or something like that.
Yep. Ah, yes. It wouldn't be a week if we didn't talk about Facebook's problems.
Facebook. Get out of my face.
Get out of my face. Facebook. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know why these people think that they have to change things all the time at Facebook, and why their stuff is so valuable to people.
Mm-hmm. A survey put out, seen by Business Insider, shows people are massively polarized about whether they trust Facebook or don't trust Facebook. Months after the Cambridge Analytical scandal, the survey showed that Facebook ranked lower on trust than Google, YouTube, and eBay, but higher than Instagram.
Well, now there is something to aspire to. Be more trustworthy than Instagram.
Facebook's been trying to clean up their reputation, but the damage has been done. Of course, a lot of younger people have abandoned Facebook in favor of other newer and more hip platforms,
well,
because Facebook's been there for 10 years. Oh, my God.
Well, the latest thing I think that Facebook is pulling, brought to my attention by a face friend on Facebook, a post that they select who you get to see in your news feed. Mm-hmm. And that's just crazy. So I have noticed the news feed seems a bit off its feed, so to speak.
Right, right.
And that's helping explain it. So I don't know how much of this is, you know, actual details of that, but if they have indeed changed it to where they get to decide who you get to see on your – or which posts of the people that you want to see on your Facebook. I think it's even more it's detailed like that.
Who watches the watchers?
Yeah, right. And if they're making decisions, you know, the AI is making some kind of decision or something like that about – what I get to see from my friends' postings, because you don't always see everything they post.
Right,
It's like, really? Just post what they post. Why does it have to be
screened?
Why do you have to mess with it? Why do you have to interfere with it? Why do you have to do anything with
it? You're improving your user experience.
Right. Not.
Here are companies. Okay, this is an interesting ranking of trusted companies. Top of the list, Amazon. For all the hits that it takes, for all the accusations of being the 400-pound gorilla of retail and putting people out of business, you know, destroying livelihoods, you know, Amazon is still one of the most top trusted companies in the U.S., followed closely by PayPal. And PayPal has managed to hold on to their position because they have a huge army of specialists who are working to maintain the security. You haven't heard of a PayPal breach.
No, I was just going to say that they haven't had been big in the news. Of course, wait till next week. That'll probably happen.
Yeah, that'll probably happen.
But they do have a dedicated staff to keep hacking and whatnot down.
Number three on the list, which surprised me, Microsoft as a trusted company, followed closely by Apple.
We may not like Microsoft, but they do seem somewhat trustworthy.
Apple is behind Microsoft, followed by IBM.
Hmm.
Now, there was a time when that IBM would have been the top of that.
Sterling, yeah, that's right.
Right after them, though, this is interesting. In spite of all their problems, Yahoo is still listed as a trusted company.
Not only problems. Like,
I'm sorry,
really?
You lost how many billion passwords?
Yeah.
This is
misleading because the people that are still with Yahoo are, you know, diehard fans type of thing. Anybody reading about this and being reasonable.
I'd like to know what the criteria. This is in Business Insider, but I'd love to know what the criteria here is.
That's the whole thing that
because
really,
under this criteria, Google is more trusted than is less trusted than Yahoo and more trusted than YouTube. In the number eight position, followed by eBay. Interesting. PayPal was number two, eBay number nine. Well, people get a lot of junk on eBay now.
Well, buyer beware.
Yep. Pandora, Facebook at 11. LinkedIn is behind Facebook in terms of trust, and I can understand why. I still get stuff of people trying to lure me into adding them on LinkedIn, and I don't like LinkedIn, especially with all the problems.
I haven't used it. I don't think it's a good authoritative source of anything.
Spotify at 13, AOL.
How do they hang on? That's the people that just won't give it up.
These are the people who used to stuff your mailbox with 3.5-inch floppies.
That used to drive me crazy. That was just crazy.
And you couldn't cancel your account to save your life.
Yep.
Ah, dear me. And then Instagram, one of the least trusted of the top 15. I've never used Instagram, which some people are probably, well, that just means you're indescribably ignorant.
I made an account, but now I don't remember what the login is.
The only thing,
I might have written it down
she
someplace.
She is posting selfies on her Instagram.
Yes.
Yes.
The millennial song, for those of you that do not know that.
Well, we talked about this. This was a year ago when we mentioned this, and now it's back in the news. There's a restaurant in San Francisco called Creator. Creator, V'ger, since the Creator.
Got a Star Trek element to it right there.
This new place opened to the public this coming week. We'll have $6 burgers.
Okay.
Cooked from beginning to end by a robot. The machine has been in the making for the past 8 years. The Wall Street Journal explains that the burger-making robot is 14 feet long, contains 7,000 parts, costs about $1 million, and can prep 120 burgers per hour. Doesn't take smoke breaks. Doesn't call in sick. Might break something.
Yeah, but when it breaks something of those 7,000 parts, it's probably spectacular.
Yep. It takes about 5 minutes from the time the order is entered to the time your burger appears.
The order is probably correct, unlike dealing with a human.
It dispenses ingredients from tubes, including burger buns, tomatoes, pickles, and a range of sauces. It grinds and cooks the meat to order.
Huh.
In other words, these aren't patties that have been sitting in a box and shipped, to 50 different locations before it gets to you.
Uh-huh.
At some point, you should be able to customize the burger by ordering through an app. He had a prototype a couple of years ago and got the developer, Alex, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It's a Greek name, Vardakostas. Vardakostas. Last year, of course, we talked about Miso Robotics, which had Flippy, the AI-powered burger flipping machine.
Hmm.
So apparently the burgers taste pretty good. And I would imagine that being fresh ground on the spot, that would give the burgers a rather nice flavor, and you don't have to worry about if the cook did anything evil into the secret sauce. That's an old...
Oh, that's true. It's really interesting, the pictures of this thing, where they show these tubes of tomatoes, for instance, stacked on each other. And we need a slice for the burger.
So who does the sous chef?
Well, that's the thing. Who maintains it at night when it shuts down? You have to clean it.
Yeah, oh yeah, these...
Big time, we've got raw meat, raw ground meat. So how long before somebody gets sick on one of these things?
Yeah. We went for quite a while before we actually used an Uber ride. People had talked about it, and I found my first experience with an Uber about a year ago. Now, then there's people going, it took you that long? I hadn't had a reason to take a ride share.
Or opportunity.
Yeah.
That reason, for sure.
In December of 2015, the Pew survey found that while two-thirds of Americans had heard of ride-hailing apps, just 15% of the population never used one. Fast forward to 2018, anywhere from 24 to 43%, depending on the methodology used, of the population has used a ride-hailing service. But even 24%. A quarter of Americans using something that didn't exist.
Yeah, just a few years ago.
Just a few years ago.
So think about that, though. And they say they're having trouble with these statistics. We used Uber for a while. We haven't used it for quite a while.
Yeah.
It's not like a steady stream with us. We'll use it when we have need or opportunity or
like on the
vacation.
Battery and the car blows up.
Yeah, that kind of thing, right? Speaking of that, Uber, I had a conversation with a fellow.
Employee.
He's more of a business, person, and mm-hmm. he works for the state. And he said he was recently in San Diego, and the guy that he caught an Uber. The guy that he was with was actually from Riverside, California, had driven all the way to San Diego for the weekend because the Uber fares were so good and so lucrative that paid to drive all the way from Riverside to San Diego to work an Uber for the weekend.
Interesting.
That's crazy.
Now, user base, of course, of ride sharing is more urban and affluent than overall population, but... I would not call Redding either of those things. We've got several Uber drivers around here.
I think there was one that started, had been at it about a year, and said he was leaving and going elsewhere. It just wasn't making enough money But it doesn't mean that it's not available. And some people just do it to supplement their income. They don't try to make a big killing living out of it.
Yep. Now, an up-and-coming business is going to be from ride-sharing to delivery driver. Now, what could possibly go wrong here? But you could be contracted if you have a vehicle that can efficiently haul packages. You could be contracted to carry packages to the final destination. And it would be very much like Uber in that you don't have health care. You're paying
right.
for your own
right.
Upkeep and maintenance.
Right.
I would be a little worried about just letting anybody sign up. I would imagine you'd have to go through quite a background check before they're going to hand you these packages.
Yep.
To go deliver to people.
You wouldn't steal very many of them before they were
before they got on. Yeah, because everything's barcoded and,
right,
and tracked.
Right.
You get one shot.
Accountability. Yep.
Yeah. Earlier in the show, we talked about. Let's save the e-book story for after the break. India, which of course has a huge pollution problem.
They also have a huge lack of power problem.
Yes, very, very low on electricity, and they're still burning a lot of oil and coal. The country is looking to put in a huge solar energy effort along the lines of 100 gigawatts.
Quite a bit.
That's pretty amazing. By the year 2030... right now, the country's current total solar capacity is just 24 gigawatts throughout the entire country. The U.S. has about 56 gigawatts of total solar capacity. The growth in India right now, as fossil fuel becomes less and less of a really good idea, is potentially huge. Now, what's interesting about this, of course, is that China, of course, has a lock on the solar panel market right now. And as I have said before, it costs energy to build a solar panel.
I'm gonna take exception to that. Now, I looked into that a little bit, and that may be an urban myth.
Okay. Well, it no longer costs more. It still takes a certain amount of energy, but about 3 years ago, they hit the breakover point where a solar panel would give back more energy than it took to build. But we had to get to that point. 10 years ago, that was not the,
right,
the truth.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I read an article where that had broken over about 3 years ago, that because the panels last longer, they are more efficient, mining techniques are getting better. But before that, to go get the silicon and go get the aluminum and to go get the copper and the other things that go into the making of a photovoltaic panel, you ultimately ended up using more energy than you would output from the panel over its rated lifespan. But that changed about 3 years ago, I think, was what I read. Pretty interesting. Now, I'm seeing photovoltaics all over the place. Big one we're going to pass on our way. When we were heading down to CES a couple of years ago, we passed a gigantic farm. Remember that?
Yeah,
it just was like panels as far as the eye could
see. That's just crazy. Yeah. Might as well do that out in the desert with that stuff. But
now, the other thing that, of course, generating the power is one thing, but getting it from point A to point B is the other. So they are working on building out their infrastructure, the wires to carry the electricity from where you get it to where you need it.
Yep, that's going to require maintenance to do as well.
I am a lineman for the county.
Yeah, there we go.
yes. Well, I'm seeing more and more of locally, neighborhood power plants and things like that. There's even talk about very small urban nuclear plants based on the thorium salt technology instead of uranium technology.
Yeah.
Which is, you can't blow up the thorium. You wouldn't want to take a bath in the stuff.
No.
A containment breach would still be bad
for you.
Yeah. But it wouldn't be along the catastrophe of what we saw in Chernobyl or Fukushima or right. any of that. It's a much different technology.
All I could come up with was Nagasaki, but that's not right.
Now, that was intentional.
I know.
Boomer Tech Radio, back after the bottom of the hour break.
Hey, at least I got such a Pam fart.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SSD Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services Monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, 530-241-1167.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Radola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Radola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right.
Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading. On the web at advancedautoreading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive. And round the back turn into the home stretch. Boomer Tech Radio back for one more segment. And, of course, we do want to shout out once again to Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do so via iTunes, Google Play, the new Google Podcast app, Stitcher, and we've been heard from time to time on TuneIn Radio. Just ask your smart speaker to play the Boomer Tech Podcast. Speaking of smart
podcast.
speaking of things audio, and this is not a surprising trend. Organizing bodies have released publishing sales figures from the end of last year. Audiobooks are doing pretty well, and have been gaining in popularity. Now, audiobooks used to be strictly the domain of long-range road warriors who were stuck in traffic.
There are those that are not, they don't go long-range, but they're stuck in traffic.
Yeah, they're stuck in traffic.
Quite the commute. Or they're on the commute. Southern California, for instance. Yeah.
You got the headphones pushed in. Used to be when you went to the truck stop, you saw the audiobooks.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
The books on tape.
Yep, books on tape, right.
Well, then, of course, they went to CD, and now, more often than not,
yeah,
it's
just
a DAT that you download.
Yeah, download them offline.
Or
download them from online.
The Association of American Publishers reported that in 2017, there was about a 30% increase in net audiobook revenues, while they saw a 4.7% decrease in net ebook revenues. The audio publishers, and I've been involved in an audiobook. It is quite an arduous process. They have exacting standards if you go through, like, say, Audible, which is the 400-pound gorilla, hello, Amazon, of audiobooks.
and the person that owns the book, if you will, the author, often gets very, very little.
Yeah.
Per
download. Because it was 60% went to Audible.
What?
And the 40% was what the author got.
Yeah.
And we put and that was producing it ourselves.
Right.
It was a pretty horrid experience. In fact, the author who I helped produce the book pulled it after about 2 weeks.
The thing about this, I mean, if you're not an ebook person or never tried one, It's kind of hard to imagine, but there's something to be said for an analog book in your hand.
Absolutely.
And
I will not argue.
And the thing about the ebooks is I find it harder to go back to pages and mark. You can mark them, but it's just not the same as a hard copy
right.
book, hardcover book. If you have a book that has information in it, then I prefer the hard copy. If it's a novel or something like that, well, then I don't mind the ebook at all. One thing I really do not like ebooks for are cookbooks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like electronic media for cooking.
That having been said, it is nice to have a book on my phone, on my Note 8, that I can read it for a while I'm standing in line at somewhere or sitting in the parking lot waiting for
something.
You in the store or
whatever.
Turn it off on my phone and then pick up my tablet. And pick up the story where I left off.
That's
continue
somewhat scary,
reading.
Too. I mean, everything's interconnected that way.
Yeah,
it's like,
bookmarks
that's a bit weird.
Across.
Right.
And this is what the Kindle app does. It bookmarks across.
That is nice. I mean, there's something to be said for that in e-reader. But mostly you're using that for novels and things, right? Entertainment, pleasure reading. You're not looking at it from reading technical books or information books.
Yeah. Podcast listening.
Hello.
Also on the rise. Could be consumers have caught on to the convenience audio storytelling affords listeners who like to multitask, or maybe we just like listening to storytellers. Now we
too. Yeah, I mean, look at the radio used to be a very functional piece of furniture in a house, and everybody would gather around to listen to the weekly episode type of thing.
Yeah. Those thrilling days of yesteryear. I would put forth a slightly, slightly more depressing reason.
Cynical.
That's the word. Cynical reason why audiobooks are overtaking the written word. And that's because if you have read the responses to online blogs, comment sections of newspapers,
Facebook.
Or even looked at a or post in Facebook, or even, God forbid, tried to read a job application resume lately, or in the case of Brenda's brother, a report written by an engineer who still thinks that the letter U is a whole word.
And these are documents that become part of an official record because they are associated with a government contract project. You cannot use textees in business documents.
Yeah, or a legal document.
At least not yet, anyway. Maybe that's going to happen someday.
But overall, I am distressed at what I see as stuff that would make... Now, I am not an English major. Spell check is my friend, and spell check also means you make sure that it's the context that makes sense. I may not know how to spell a word precisely, but I can tell if it's misspelled. You know what I mean?
But there's more to it. There's syntax. There's the composition
exactly.
of everything. This is why we all had to go to English class, right?
Right. And that's a lost art. Suddenly, English class is, that's too much work.
Something.
So people have become lazy readers.
Lazy writers.
And they hate you looking up the big words. So that's just my micro rant that I have noticed.
So it is kind of scary, the quality of writing that you see. So you've been interested in looking at self-published stories
online. Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And you said some of the stuff that's really popular.
Some of the stuff that is being sold on the Amazon Kindle platform. Now, there's what's called Kindle Unlimited, where I have this. It's a subscription. And it's kind of an all-you-can-eat of everything but the very top-tier books, that people would be willing to shell out $15 for a digital copy that doesn't really exist. But in terms of these just fun reads, it's kind of an all-you-can-read ding thing for like $12 a month or something like that.
Well, it's sort of like a story anthology but
a lot of these stories scream for an editor. Oh, my. Like I said, and I'm trying to write something myself, it's a tough process.
You are a rather good writer, for one thing. That's one of the things that caught my eye right away about our first correspondences, is there were quality.
Well, yeah, we're writing something short, like a letter or a radio commercial. That's one thing. Trying to write a cohesive story of 30, 40,000 words, which is what I'm working on.
Look at journalism, though. Newspaper articles are not that well written anymore either.
Oh, my God.
Some of them are atrocious.
Some of the online journalism.
Terrible.
Don't get me started. Misuse of words. Outright, using the wrong term. Catchphrases that are completely misapplied.
Right.
Slogans and that somebody that over the have mutated, and I wish I could come up with some examples, but some of them they were altered to the point where they no longer make any sense, but they use them anyway.
Well, I don't know. Maybe this is leading over into
ranting like an old man.
Into the movie industry too. Is can anybody come up with a new movie? Why are we seeing all these remakes
Holy
of things?
Holy smoke! I'm telling you.
Yeah, I mean, where's the original writing here, people?
Mm-hmm. Now we talked about Amazon taking over the healthcare pharmaceuticals business. Well, of course, they moved into Whole Foods last year. Micro trips to Whole Foods are up 8.7% across the chain since Amazon acquired Whole Foods for more than $13 billion last year. Micro trips are defined as visits to the store that take less than 5 minutes. In other words, you go in, you grab whatever you were there for, and you go out, and rather than go up and down every single aisle.
Oh, my God. Don't shop with my mother. That's what she does.
Now,
Whole
Foods stores.
Go to Costco with my mom. Plan on being there an hour and a half. Seriously.
Whole Foods stores also are pickup points for Amazon lockers.
Ah.
Which is kind of a neat thing.
Yeah, that's well, you know, so you don't have the package thieves.
But, well.
Or that you can order stuff and they put it in your locker.
It goes in the locker, and it's like at the post office when you get the key.
Yeah, put your credit card in.
Well, not even that. You get the app.
Prepaid already.
You get the thing on your app, like a barcode, and you wave that at the scanner, and it unlocks the thing.
Uh-huh.
So that's their whole thing. Because if you have to, let's say you're, and this is a genius thing when you think about it. So putting the Amazon locker, so let's say that the porch thieves have hit you twice.
Right.
So you have your purchase, your online purchase delivered to an Amazon locker that happens to be inside a Whole Foods. Well, while you're there, you know, I better pick up another gallon of milk.
Oh,
this
sure.
is genius.
Who doesn't do that in the grocery store? You go in for two things and
you come out with a cart.
You're right, you just come out with it. Exactly. So I've learned I take more bags in California. Of course, you can't have the small plastic bags. You have to buy them and whatnot. But so I learned to take my own bags, and I take more than I think I'm going to need because then I usually fill them.
Yep. Yeah, the devices are inside the store. Any visit is a potential sale to a new customer who hadn't previously planned on coming in. New visitors are also likely to be Amazon Prime members. Maybe they'll spot a too good to pass up Prime member deal on fresh fish. Maybe they'll see the buy one get one free sale.
Yeah, the thing is though, when they say that the micro trips are up 8.7%, so let's say 9%, how long is that going, is that sustainable?
Yeah.
That's what I wonder. Although it's been almost a year, so it's possible that is a legitimate trend.
Yeah, now Amazon Fresh is having trouble disappearing orders, orders that are, the person in the delivery car decided to stop and get a beer and left the bag of milk in their car, or they're trying to get to too many stops.
Yeah, and then things get warmed up or what have you. The other thing about that is, and I think Walmart has some kind of a, grocery shopping service where you place your order and then you just drive by and essentially pay for it
and then
put it in your trunk. And I don't want people picking my head of lettuce. Or the celery, or the carrots, or what have you. I'm picky. And if something doesn't look good, so I want green onions, but maybe the green onions aren't very good, or they're monstrous instead of smaller or something. I don't want other people picking my produce, because what I've learned is a lot of people that would be doing that don't know a darn thing about produce.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what quality is or what have you. They just grab the top one on the top of the pile. I mean, I go through the lettuce heads and look for the big one type of thing. And you're not going to have somebody that's doing those grocery shopping services for you. They're not going to do that. So I don't like that for fresh stuff. Now, if it's canned or boxed or, some kind of thing like that, well, then no problem. I mean, but anything fresh, meat, produce, those kind of things, I don't want somebody else making those choices for me.
Yep.
That's just me.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see where this goes with Amazon, because it's new territory for everybody, the consumer as well as the retailer.
Yep. We called this one.
Oh, go ahead.
We called this one. Bitcoin continuing to drop.
Yeah.
Precipitously.
We have some significant problems.
The cryptocurrency this last week went down to about $5,800. That's the lowest since February. Actually, the low in February was about $5,900. That's 70% decline in the value since December of 2017, when it stopped just short of $20,000.
Yeah, if you sold then, man, you were smart. But people get greedy, right?
Yep.
So
this does have every look of a bubble.
Oh, sure. And people said that at the time, that this is this kind of growth is unsustainable and this bubble's going to pop. But there's also been some recent hacking of cryptocurrency houses, if you want to call them that, keepers, banks, whatever. And that does not bode well either. I mean, you know, you're making a real investment in these things, and then they get hacked, stolen, because they are, after all, I love the name Ethereum, a very ethereal.
Yeah.
There's no substance to it. I mean, even at least a dollar bill has some paper involved there, you know, or a quarter is a coin. It's a tangible thing, but cryptocurrencies are not tangible.
Right.
And
if it can be created, it can be hacked
right,
in the digital realm.
Right, exactly. If it's in the digital realm, then, you know, and security, I'm sure, has, they need those army of people at
PayPal?
Yeah, at PayPal to work for them, right?
Exactly.
But it's just too rich a target to pass
right.
up. And so I think people are far more wary now, so it's not as popular as it was, although there are businesses that still take bitcoins, but, you know, who knows?
Investment, however, is falling rapidly, especially since Japan imposed new restrictions on the cryptocurrency exchanges. There's a big wave of skepticism around cryptocurrency, but there's a community... The whole idea, and this is often the case, where it's supposed to be a big community thing and everybody holds hands and sings kumbaya. Well, these things inevitably disintegrate
absolutely.
Into factions vying for power.
Because we're people.
And we're tribal.
Humans. Yeah, humans, for sure.
The Securities and Exchange Commission has begun to aggressively crack down on crypto scams. But the damage has been done. Investors have been burned. Some of these people spent just an unconscionable amount of money only to see it go away. This is probably a good time to bring this up. Some of this may be overplayed for dramatic effect. And some of it may be an attempt to get some money out of manufacturers. However... And we have talked about this before.
Any technology can be used for good
right.
or bad.
Smart home technology being used to inflict new forms of domestic abuse on partners and former partners. Examples include everything from video surveillance through cameras to blasting out loud music through smart speakers and turning up thermostats to oppressive levels. And we talked about this. This is mostly people who have no idea how to set their stuff up.
Right.
They just take it out of the box, plug it in, and walk away.
Or someone else has set it up for them and has total control over it. That's also a very big possibility. But imagine, that's just rude to do these things. But, you know, humans being what they are and take advantage of technology and such like, that's just incredible that people would use this as a tool. So the thing about it is, though, that if by chance you know someone, or perhaps yourself, God forbid, be a victim of this, you know what?
Unplug it.
Right. Throw the smart speaker out. Hand it back to the
person. Pull the wall board out.
Yeah. You know, cover the camera up. There's all kinds of things that you could
do. Masking tape.
Yeah. That way. Now, I get that in domestic violence and abuse type situations that people are afraid to do these kinds of things.
But it don't blame the technology.
Right. It's not the technology. It's the human abuse of it.
It's like blaming the
use
gun,
and abuse.
Blaming the hammer, blaming the
car.
Rock, blaming the stick, blaming the yeah.
The car. Pick your, you know, blaming the weather.
Yeah.
Maybe even. It's, but even that people would stoop to using such things
exactly.
for such activities is very sad.
Yeah.
You know, it really is.
But I'm going to say this. The technology, and some people say, I won't use it because it's evil. No. Technology is not in and of itself
right.
evil. It can neither be good nor evil. It just is.
Right.
It is the intention of the wielder.
Right.
I say it again. A hammer can build a house or bash a skull. It's all in the who's holding on to it.
Right. But the imagine the creativity of these people just kills
me. Oh, well,
me.
That's just – it's just amazing.
And, you know, the thing about it is I think what's kind of sad about that is that it's possible that there's, you know, no record of this sort of thing, and so you can't prove that these things are going on. Obviously, though, if they use a video camera and then post things online, Instagram or Facebook – well, there's evidence right there.
Yeah.
But even then, some of that stuff can be, you know, via Twitter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It can be pulled. Still, that's just, that's scary.
If you have been in a domestic situation and you suspect that the spouse is causing a problem, unplug the thing.
Yeah.
Turn it off. Call the 12-year-old from up the street and have them disable it.
It's,
you know, whatever.
It's not like you have to have this
right,
in your
right.
house.
I have the Echo and the Google Home as conveniences, and because we do this show. And sometimes hilarity ensues with our smart speakers. But if I had got the idea that somebody was harassing me, I wouldn't sit there and wave my hands in the air helplessly. I'd go unplug it. You know, that's
yep.
the simple.
Without power, it is dysfunctional.
Yeah.
It is not functional. Yep, that's one of those things. So there's no magic to these devices.
Right? Yeah, they are not sentient.
Yeah, and in and of themselves, they don't automatically start up and do things. They have to be connected to some sort of controller, if you will. Not to say that they couldn't build controllers into these things, but again, once you put a sock over it or, you know, unplug it,
yeah,
it's not going to be able to do anything.
Yeah. What I'm seeing, okay, is there a problem? Yeah, there could be a problem. But I think that the lawyers are playing this up so that they can sue the manufacturers for not building safeguards into the system. Should there be safeguards? Should these things have been shipped from the factory with a router with a password that says password? Of course not.
Well, that's the way it is. I mean, and the manufacturers had no intent that people would, you know, that's not how they market these things.
Stanley, when they built the hammer, didn't intend for it to be used to bash in
a
skull.
Weapon. Right, exactly.
Come on.
But that's kind of not what happens.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Now, this is sort of interesting. One of the big things we talk about is photoshopped images
mm-hmm.
and how they can be used to manipulate opinions. And if you look at, like, the Weekly World News, you used to see some of the worst photoshopping.
Oh, my gosh, you could tell it just right away.
But it's gotten more subtle.
And much more, yeah.
In the world of modeling, photoshopping is used to
huge.
Take off pounds and clean up skin
length
problems.
Legs
yeah, exactly.
All kinds of things, yeah, which
Adobe,
I think is rotten.
Adobe has come out with a new artificial intelligence that can identify if an image has been altered. For example, the thing in the picture suggests that maybe somebody tampered with the tail number on an aircraft. And let's say the photograph was used to say that an aircraft was used in a crime. Here's the tail number. Go arrest that person.
Right.
Or a car with a license plate that's caught on camera and is altered. Well, this new software from Adobe, it's an artificial intelligence that carefully evaluates, I just lost the page, apparently evaluates the image and determines that though there's been some manipulation at work here.
You know, these are basically forensic techniques that they're using. They don't explain much here in this article about that other than that it's possible. They're getting more and more sophisticated.
Yeah, the article has a thing in here about how does the software determine that maybe a picture has been tampered
splicing
with.
Splicing things, copy moved, objects in a photograph are moved or cloned from one place to another, removed, and filled in. Those are all pretty easy to identify, apparently, like this.
Alrighty, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their